And so it's, it has the peanut saltiness. It's got the peanut foot. It is like a mix between a chickpea and a peanut.
I'm out.
It's a peanut.
I'm out.
David, your thoughts?
I am out.
I think it works.
So Bradley, check, yes?
I mean here's the thing.
I don't want them all the time.
Sure, but you
now,
would...
If they were like shelled and in a bowl loose, that might be more like with a spoon, like, you know, like a civilized person, pre-shelled in a bowl. Could you serve it to me in a parfait dish, please? That's how I need them.
Hey everybody, welcome back to episode 6 of Overarching. What is it? April 10th?
10th.
Yeah, Wednesday, 2018. I'm Matthew Blaker, along with me.
Wait, it's me?
Yeah, it is. Who is you? Who is me?
Who is you?
Who talking?
Wait, I want the listeners to guess who this is at this point.
All right, and your guests are in. Comment in the description.
Yeah, I'm never going to say my name for the rest of eternity.
All right, I don't think that'll be a problem. And I'm Bradley Rolfe.
Oh man. Okay, well there goes that. So hey, I'm gonna freaking hijack this real quick.
Yeah, take it. What's the big?
I want people to know about something that's been in the works for the city of St. Louis, development, and something that's just going to connect all parts of the city, not the Metrolink. It's called the Green Rivers Greenway. Great Rivers Greenway. Why did I say Green Rivers? Great Rivers Greenway. So there was a competition, the Shoto Greenway competition that when was it? Maybe four days ago or so. They released the design concepts for the Shoto Greenway competition, and there were qualifications and goals for the Greenway. So there's multiple teams and designs that have been concepted, and now there is an opportunity to engage with these plans as a community. So four plans have been thrust upon the community. Today, actually, April 10th, currently going on, I probably just ended actually just now, but there is something going on in, I think it was, oh shoot, where's it happening? It's happening at the Sheldon, actually, in Grand Center. It's the kickoff night. It's the Shoto Greenway Community kickoff night that's happening. It's probably done by now, but it was 4:30 to 7. The event is open to the entirety of St. Like, it's just open to the public, where the concepts will be on display. So the Shoto Greenway is trails, pathways, designs, art installations. So basically the goals of the competition and the designs are as follows. So these were the community goals based at greatriversgreenway.org. So if you go on their website, these are the goals that they are trying to get across. It's to establish a transformative framework, to catalyze community building, to contribute to the regional system, choreograph urban life, create diverse and accessible experiences, provide a safe and secure environment, generate economic opportunities, integrate art and culture, improve mobility and connectivity, shape a sustainable future, promote design excellence, and be aspirational and achievable. What all of these things mean, and yes, talk about vague goals and overarching goals.
The number of people who just hit buzzword bingo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
insert here. All said and done, what's happening is it's a corridor generating connection via foot, via bike, via whatever vehicular you want to ride on. your fake hoverboard, your Huffy bicycle, your Razor scooter, what have you. So their explanation is the Shodo Greenway is envisioned to be a vibrant corridor dense with experiential opportunities that leverages community, institutional, and private assets in creating a unique piece of urban infrastructure. As the backbone of the central city area, provide junctures for other connections to communities, institutions, and natural resources around the core of St. Louis. It's basically a trail network that connects the western edge of Forest Park to downtown. So there's four proposals. One was by the Shodo Greenway Braid James Corner Field Operation. One is by, or create, it's the title, essentially, of what they've called their proposal. The Loop plus the Stitch minus, which is just a hyphen, but I thought it was funny how they add a plus and a hyphen in the same, like, come on, what are you trying to do?
I thought you guys are designers.
Right, exactly. Aren't you a design team? Isn't that the whole purpose for you not to create confusion? The Loop plus the Stitch minus Stoss Landscape Urbanism. There's plus STL Growing Urban Mosaic, TLS Landscape Architecture, Object Territories, and DHD Derek Hofferlin Design. That's one submission. That whole thing that I just read was the title of one submission.
Well, I think they have the name of the people designing it and then what they're calling their project.
Right,
so it's...
exactly. So one city belonging to all W Architecture. That's the other proposal. That's the last proposal. So what you guys need to know, what the city of St. Louis needs to know, is the things that are happening in this community to involve you, the city residents, the community residents, heck, the county residents that are going to be using these as well, you Eastern Illinoisers, well, Western Illinoisers technically, but East River residential.
Right, Metro
folks.
East and... Well, cause this
you're
going
to be using this as well because it's going to connect you as well. It's going to go over to your side.
Yeah, well, because we already have, and Great Rivers Greenway already has, there are several trails throughout the area. You got the kind of north-south from the, like, Chain Rocks Bridge all the way down to downtown on the riverfront.
Right.
And there's stuff, some stuff through, like, South County, along River to Pear.
Yeah.
So there's a handful of these trails already existing. This is going to be one of the larger and more, I guess, substantial as far as what it's connecting.
And thorough. It's extremely thorough. I think that's the most important part.
Most of these are just trails. I don't want to say just trails because trails do so much. But most of these existing ones are primarily pathways. And these proposals are building off of that primarily, but bringing so much more.
Exactly. So it's integrating building design concepts into the trails. It's expanding upon certain areas to create workout equipment around each trails. Talking about expanding natural habitats and prairies around these areas to create a more green environment. Talking about using electric and renewable energy in these pathways as well. Blaker?
Yeah, so I mean, if you guys want to actually take a look at these, just go to greatriversgreenway.org, and there's actually a link that they're asking, please give us feedback through April 22nd so the competition jury can use it to make a decision at the end of the month. There's a survey link that you can actually go on to the community input. They want your input. And check out the board and the reports and fill out the survey so you have an input.
So all of these boards, these four big these display boards will be on display, for lack of a better term, at different locations all throughout St. Louis City from now until that 22nd period.
Correct.
So these are the list of the places you can go check these designs out outside of just, you know, online. Because I want you to go physically look at these things and interact with the people who have created the designs. Because you, this residents of City of St. Louis and County and Metro East, have a say in what you want.
Yeah.
In this. This is, you don't get this anywhere else. The Central and Schlafly branches of the St. Louis Public Library, the Urban League of the Metropolitan St. Louis, Forest Park Visitors and Education Center, Missouri History Museum, the Luminary, Covo STL, the new coffee shop bar slash work here for $2 an hour in this awesome setting. It's downtown. It took over the old bank on 4th Street and Pine. I believe that's the intersection. It's a beautiful building. Al Pacino actually robbed that bank once. Fun fact.
Fun.
This camp
is in St. Louis.
Yeah, seriously. KAMP, Camp, Great Rivers Gameway, obviously. Venture Cafe, Herbert Hoover Boys and Girls Club, St. Louis College of Pharmacy, and SLU. You can check it out, all those places, now through the 22nd.
I'm sorry, but, David. Did you say Al Pacino?
Yeah, Al Pacino.
Okay, rob that bank.
Yeah, rob that bank.
Okay.
Think about it.
All right,
great. See what it did there?
Back to the topic.
Yep. Thank you for catching on.
So you see all these places. Let's jump into these designs. I've taken a brief glance at some of these. I know you've delved in.
But most importantly, interact, give your opinions to these people that have a bigger say in the design and the actual outcome. Community members are invited to see the teams present their plans to the jury. You are allowed to come watch it unfold at Harris Stowe on April 25th from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. I will not be there, unfortunately, working all day. One of us may be. Well, Blaker won't either. Huh. Bradley maybe. I'm not sure.
I don't know what I'm doing that day. But that's really April 25th. Exciting too, because looking through some of these designs, some of these media packets, and they're all professionally put together, but some are designed better than others.
Yeah.
And some like capture.
I have my opinions.
Some of them, I think number A really communicates
the
vision. Yeah. Really communicates their vision very effectively and very quickly.
The Braid James Cornerfield operations.
The Braid.
Yeah. I'm with you.
I would love to hear people cast their vision, or maybe look at, like, I don't know, there's also in addition to the major board, there's also some like 160 page packets. If, you know, spend some time with those.
I also love the growing and urban mosaic layout as well. Yeah. I think they're doing some really beautiful things there.
But it's exciting that we get to hear from these individuals specifically,
mm-hmm.
Instead of just reading, you know, if something gets lost in translation.
And they're going to stream this event on Great Rivers Greenway's Facebook page. So if you want to do it while you're at work, and Blaker, don't stream this event while you're at work. But I'm ching. Great Rivers Greenway's Facebook page is streaming it from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. I'm not sure if they're going to do it the whole time, but check it out.
Sweet.
Go check out the designs, and go take the survey. Also, you can check the full. There's a survey on Shoto Greenway. Also, there's, you should probably check out, like, the I was just reading from their press release that they sent out on their .org. So, really, I'm amped. This is something that I have been backing since becoming a truer St. Louisan, like coming back from college and planting myself here after university. And becoming an actual St. Louis citizen, if you want to call yourself that.
Yeah. Citizenship by engagement.
Location and engagement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So do it. Get involved. Talk to us. If you have questions about it or want to chat with us about our opinions about the design,
chat on the Facebook page and
email us. Don't email us. If you want to chat with us, just, yeah, chat on the Facebook page if you want to chat with us.
Yeah.
It's a way faster way to do it.
Or text me if you have my number.
Or do that. Yeah, if you're our friend.
867-5309.
Oh, boo. That's
a number.
I like that. That was, yeah, fine. Also, can we talk about the Great Rivers Greenway design of their logo for a second?
Yes.
Look it up for a second. It's really, okay, it's cool.
Yes.
And it's busy.
Yes.
All at the same time. Yes. It's really busy. You look at it and you go, oh.
Well, and it's okay. It's more of a
interesting.
It's more of text on a background. It's hard, and it is a logo because it's what they use all over the place. But it doesn't read as a logo.
No, it doesn't.
From a design standpoint, it looks like
it's just images. Like art. Well, yeah, because the Great Rivers Greenway is about creating alt art and tying in community. I think it's a good logo.
Absolutely.
It's just very like, what's going on? What's the purpose of this?
Well, rules of design were made to be
unfinished, bent? Like your sentences.
Yeah.
That's Bradley.
And on that note.
All right. Well, it is now.
What time is it?
7:17.
Wow. People need to know that while they're listening to us.
Do not set your clock to our... Well, David, were there any specific things you wanted to look into on some of these specific proposals you want to address or highlight, or what are you excited about specifically?
The thing that I'm most excited about probably is within the... And most of the proposals integrate the... I think it's called the McKinley Bridge... maybe it's not the McKinley Bridge. It's the train bridge that's just south of the Poplar Street Bridge. Yes.
I don't know the name of that bridge, but it is not the McKinley Bridge.
Yes, thank you. McKinley Bridge is something else. But from the Braid James Corner Field Operations submission and proposal, their proposal that goes across that train bridge that's just south of the Poplar Street Bridge from downtown integrates a walking pathway that circumnavigates the train bridge. So it goes over top of where the train like goes on the bridge and you walk over it. Like the walking platform goes over the train. The train goes underneath you and you walk around each side of the bridge.
It winds
through it, which is so neat. It's going to be a lookout. First of all, only problem with that, who wants to look out at the Mississippi River?
I mean, have you seen it?
If you've seen it once, you've seen it. I mean, I agree with that. It is cool.
It's
called Big Muddy for a reason.
It's also, David, I mean, have you looked off into the Mississippi from on top of a bridge crossing it? Like Chain Rocks or anything like that?
No, I've looked across it from Eads.
Yeah, but I'm saying like from Eads in bridge. The middle of a bridge.
Yeah,
they're on the bridge. There's something. It's not quite there, but it's something akin to
a
mountaintop experience. You know, being right above this mighty physical force. It's not. Don't downplay looking at a river.
I'm not. Oh well, you're looking down at it.
I wrote a whole song about looking at a river, so you know. It's a good thing.
Or are you going to plug your band now?
No. Yes, no.
Are we going to plug another White Suburbanite? See what I did there.
I guess we already right. have. But one thing that I'm really excited about, I believe most of the proposals, that kind of I-40 corridor, Shodo, it's you know named for, is you mm-hmm. know obviously the big strand going Forest Park to downtown. But pretty much all of these proposals also include something connecting Fairgrounds Park down to the Central Corridor, and also all the way north. Down to mm-hmm. Tower Grove Park. So I really appreciate, because St. Louis is not the Central Corridor. St. Louis is all of St. Louis, and that includes North St. Louis.
So this goes...
Bingo.
This goes back to...
Bingo.
I don't know what episode it was, the first or second episode that we really did this, and I left the podcast with the question. You guys remember the question?
I do.
Exactly. So...
Was that the question?
No.
Yeah. Well, we're married. I do.
That's what I was getting to. Good.
Oh, that was legally binding, wasn't it?
Wow. Oh man.
No, but that one, so the question was, how do we tie all these neighborhoods together to form a future St. Louis that becomes more inclusive?
This is one way,
and this is a great.
It's a start.
Way to do it.
Yeah, and this is a huge step.
You need
and
a catalyst.
Not only is it a catalyst. It's a catalyst. It's a huge step. It's also a framework. It is a platform to help future ideas gain more traction.
Absolutely.
I also, if you're going to look this up, so these paths cross, they cross a couple times. The first time that they cross is kind of at Grand Center it basically at Grand Center, if you want to call Grand Center's a little bit farther north than that. So they cross where the new City Foundry is going to be, where all the retail shops and the big food hall and the entertainment, and I kind of want to call it entertainment district. It's the shopping district, if you want to call it that. There's going to be new office space there as well. So City Foundry, they intersect there just south of Salute Campus. And then they intersect once again.
Project Yards?
On the mall. So on the Gateway Mall. They do so at the intersection of the Peabody. Mm. What is that? 14th and Market?
Peabody, I'm pretty sure. Peabody is...
Peabody's 14th and Market, bro. I'm staring at it right now, by the way.
Peabody Opera House?
Yes.
Peabody. Okay, yes. Oh,
See what you did?
Yeah.
You did the smart thing. I just called it the Opera House, whereas you actually talked about the Peabody building itself. Mm-hmm. See, Blaker's smarter than me, because he lived downtown.
This is true.
But this goes all the way to the Arch, and the other one goes all the way to the Mississippi Overlook. This proposal that I'm looking at right now doesn't have any extensions to go over to the Metro East. But go look it up. Go explore. Go have some fun. I am unbelievably psyched for this. I can't express enough how much love and support that I have for these things.
Your facial hair fell off. You now have a mustache.
I have a mustache. Don't look into that.
Hooray, audio.
What?
What? We're doing audio things, and so he talks about what you look like.
Yeah, people can wonder what I look like. Now I have a moniker. Think about that. I also don't have a monocle.
No. I was going to say, you're wearing two monocles right now.
I don't have glasses on.
No, you're not wearing glasses. You're wearing two individual monocles and a top hat that you kind of cut the top off and made like spiky because you're into this whole like Abraham Lincoln goth phase.
He's got a pretty big obsession with Guy Fieri. So
I do. I'm really into Guy. So I'm wearing, fine. I'll tell you what I look like right now. So I've got two monocles. I've got the top hat with the spikes coming out either side. On the top hat is written Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer because I'm really into that movie. But I'm also really into Pride and Prejudice and zombies.
You're into any classic piece of literature or history intercut with zombies, vampires, werewolves, Frankensteins, monsters. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm also really into this new series that's been uncovered by J.R.R. Tolkien. Like, so from his, like, it's a new piece that people have just discovered out of nowhere. Like, it's a really, really underground scene. So I'm wearing, instead of, you know, like the brown cloaks and like the white robes that you usually see worn or see written.
Right.
In his novels that, like, Gandalf wears,
right,
or Frodo wears, or Samwise.
Your like typical high fantasy garb.
Yeah, in some of his other novels, for instance, The Silmarillion, which is a great book, there is more pages that people didn't know were written in the Silmarillion.
Well, Silmarillion is really it's pretty light and just like kind of a fast moving story.
But it gets so dark. It gets so dark at the very end. So it kind of intertwines the Hobbit and the Silmarillion worlds all together.
Okay.
And it brings this flavor of extreme depression that he went through when he was going. So he was really good friends with Clive Staples Lewis, C.S. Lewis,
right?
Which who wrote.
A Swiftly Tilting Planet.
Yes, and that's a fantastic
book.
He
didn't write that book.
And The Chronowutcles of Narnia.
Yeah.
So they had this awesome like setting where they would meet all the time, and they were best friends, and they were just like, hey, check out my books and read my stuff and give me... So this was a moment in their lives where they didn't talk to each other because they were in a really big fight, and he wrote this as kind of an in-between world. And it's super dark, and there's a character that's named Bradrillius.
Well, this is not ironic at all.
It's called Bradrillius. No, B-R-U-D.
Like, well, Bradley's been trying to say his name all afternoon.
It has nothing to do with Brad. It's called Brudrillius.
All right, well, here's the thing.
B-R-U-D.
David,
you just heard Brad.
David, it's one. Brudrillius. David, I got one. I thought you were building up a really long punchline, but apparently you're talking about something real. Also, was trying to keep it local because this is overarching the St. Louis Culture Podcast. So can you tie it up and move on?
Yeah, Brudrillius. No, there was literally nothing to that whole thing. I made that whole thing up.
I figured you were.
Are you kidding me? Of course I made that whole thing up. I wanted people to know that I am a world builder and I can create whatever I want.
Well, all right. Wonderful.
Also, Brudrillius is a great name.
Thank you very much. It's an okay name.
Oh, come on. That's a way better name than Bradley, Kel, jeez. Our guest earlier coming up with a name like Bradley.
Well,
jeez.
Well.
Come on, Mom. You can do better than that.
Well, I plugged the
you
time
know why?
Earlier.
Bradley's a second child.
I plugged the time earlier because we're recording this during the Cardinals game, and I was
You got an update?
Yeah.
Oh, what's
yeah.
the score?
So.
Are we losing? Because, of course, we're losing.
This is our segue. 1-0 Milwaukee.
Ah, there it is.
Bottom of the first inning.
We're already losing.
So David, where's our hat on your wall?
Third.
Yeah.
We're going to stay there the rest of time, too. Right. Well, no, we're in fourth now.
Where's
Milwaukee? Right above us?
Yes. Yeah. They're in second right now. So I have my own thoughts on this. And David, I know you and I
texted a little bit about
this last night. And I'll let you kind of, you know, give your little banter. You know, we're 4-6, so it's 10 games into the season. Obviously, you and I have discussed various times throughout this podcast so far our thoughts on Mike Matheny, our thoughts on leadership of the Cardinals and just how it's built, how it's structured. And I'm still of the firm belief, after watching 10 games, I hate to say it this way, but only 10 games, yes. Mike Matheny and I, and our the way our we think about bullpen management and I guess you could say lineup, just how hard-headed he is at times, we don't get along. And I know you have thoughts. I've not been a fan of
you met Mike?
Mabry for probably 3 or 4 years now, but...
Well, so for listeners like Bradley's mom, who really are starting to get into the aspect of baseball just from a communal standpoint and like what they mean to the community, what is really happening right now, the Cardinals are sending a statement. The ownership of the St. Louis Cardinals are sending a statement by keeping Mike Matheny and keeping John Mabry, and most importantly, keeping John Mozeliak as president of baseball operations in. They are sending the message of, we really trust these guys because they're helping us maintain the image that we want the Cardinals to have, which it's time to crush that image. It's time to kill the Cardinal way.
So go into why you think that.
So the Cardinal way worked for the type of baseball that was played from the year 1998 until 2012. And you and I talked about this last night.
I'd say 13.
Give and take. Obviously, we were in the World Series in 2013, right? That's still, to me, over. Those are lingerings of Jeff Lonau. Those are still lingerings of Tony La Russa. Either way, the Cardinal way is classist. It's elitist. It's we promote favoritism based on what kind of culture you'd like to create in the clubhouse, and what type of player you are, which is the standard, let's get base hits, let's move runners across, let's play baseball the right way, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's not baseball anymore, and it sucks, and it ticks me off, and I hate it. I hate that baseball So for you guys don't really care about baseball in St. Louis, baseball in St. Louis has always been a game of pure, just it's been pure baseball in St. Louis.
Like, get them on, get them over, get them in.
Right. Yeah, get them on, get them over, get them in. That's been the game. The
classic rules, I mean, like.
Right. It was most efficient within Lou Brock being our leadoff hitter in the 70s. Okay. And so Lou Brock was an unbelievable base dealer. He'd get on as our leadoff hitter. He'd either walk or get a hit, and he would then steal second. Then somebody would either bunt him over or get a hit and move him over to third. All you needed to do then was get a sack fly and he scores, and you're already up 1-0 in the first inning. That is Cardinal baseball to a T, even through the early 2000s and the early 2010s.
And sporadically since, yes, 2015, I know, was a year individually. We won 100 games, and yeah, we were always getting out early ahead, and that's how you should play baseball. I pulled up statistic.
So Dave, are you guys saying that the Cardinals have not kept up with sabermetrics?
No, we're fine with sabermetrics. Oh, okay. What we haven't
done. Are you
saying
that baseball's beyond that?
Baseball is not doing sabermetrics anymore.
Okay, because like everyone saw Moneyball.
And what's the word I used yesterday, Blaker? What did I say baseball has become?
A home run hitting contest, basically.
It's the long ball game. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's three true outcomes.
And I hate it.
In the game now. Here's a great statistic for you. I read the other day. Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah.
Has already struck out.
This is unbelievable.
One of my favorite players, all right? And this was just a couple days ago.
Because he murders baseballs.
He's amazing to watch. He's a phenom. But do phenoms... Would you consider both Joe DiMaggio and Giancarlo Stanton phenoms?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
I would, because of their prowess and their status in the public eye.
Okay. So Joe DiMaggio, 56-game hitting streak, right?
Longest ever.
Longest ever.
By some.
The season that he did that, only struck out 13 times the entire season. Giancarlo Stanton.
Wow, that was a guess.
Over half of baseball already. But Giancarlo Stanton individually, this, because he's got the huge contract, he's got the trade to the Yankees, he was the coveted player, has already struck out 20 times. And we are 10 games into the season.
Is that crazy or what?
That's wild.
He struck out 20 times.
He
struck out five times in one game twice this season.
It's like the MLB has been watching signs.
Mm-hmm.
My
dad and I were saying at the opening game, at opening day, and we told this to Blaker too, it would, back in the 70s, players would sit out on the last day of game 162, mm-hmm, which is how many games there are in a season, mm-hmm, for those who don't really pay attention. Players would sit out purposefully. They would say, take me out of the game on 162, because they had 99 strikes and they didn't want the embarrassment of having 100 strikes in a season. Giancarlo is on pace to have over 250 strikeouts in a season. 250.
And that number was 99 strikes, not strikeouts. So,
And to tell you, Bradley, and other listeners, what the three true
outcomes...
No,
strikeouts.
Strikeouts. Yes, okay. Yes.
Right. The
Even so.
The three true outcomes that I was alluding to. Mm-hmm. Strikeout, home run, walk. All right? And that has... both, I think, elongated the game of baseball, which is what, uh-huh, they're all freaking out about.
Yep.
Oh, we got to implement all these new things, which, by the way,
is a load of crap.
Right.
It's not going to help. What's going to help is by going back to the basics of what baseball is. Also, like commercials, like, sure, didn't help for, sure, that. But at the same time,
I just want to challenge you guys. You know, as you go, I've put up, you know, a couple statistics about the Cardinals already. Three Cardinals starting players. Colton Wong. This one's good. Yadier Molina and Jed Jerko, who's already who's on the disabled list, unfortunately, at the moment.
You know I love Jed.
Yeah, of course. But they're the only three players at this moment, starting players, that have less than 10 strikeouts in the Cardinals starting lineup. Everybody else has 10 or more.
And how many games have we played?
10.
Think about that. That's the world we live in for baseball right now. It's pathetic.
Man.
Because what happens to the city of St. Louis when they see their players strike out over and over and over again.
Marcelo Zuna, 13 strikeouts, no walks.
Yeah, and yes, he's got 2 home runs now, right?
He's only got 1.
I thought he has 2.
No.
Oh, he's got 1, whatever. Yeah, we bought him for his bat. We traded for him. We technically bought
him. Granted, he's batting .329.
He's great. He's the only asset on this team that I really agreed with this offseason, and that was all Gersh. That was all Gersh's doing, which is our GM, by the way, who took over operations of general manager for John Mozeliak, who was promoted to president of baseball operations. So, Cardinal fans, St. Louisans, go support the Cardinals. Go support them. Go watch their games. There's 81. There's 81 games this season in St. Louis, and they're going to be wonderful, and it's going to be really, really fun. And baseball is such a fun game. Unfortunately, you're going to see people strike out a lot.
Yeah.
Also, you don't have to pay attention as much to the game anymore because they extended the netting on the dugouts. So you can text and you can say, hey, friends, which I always pay attention to the game.
Yeah.
But if you're going to be a dimwit and go to a baseball game and sit in the first row behind the dugout and text people, you should be blaming yourself for getting hit in the head with the baseball. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
So yeah, just definitely wanted to throw that out there.
It sounds like kind of even a metaphor across just in our culture, we're seeing a lot of high highs and a lot of low lows, just in, you know, polarization of, you know, and obviously there's a full spectrum of social and political beliefs, but the most extreme ones are the loudest.
So
with this, rather than having a nuanced game of baseball, a game where you can, you know, where the strategy matters. So that's the thing. It's like baseball, and when I watch any sport with David, you know, he knows the ins and outs of everything, the strategy, and he's, you know, kind of helped me along to discover this. And in baseball, you see there are these little nuances in strategy where, you know, your manager matters in how they call your game.
Mm-hmm. The manager in baseball matters more than most managers in all other sports.
But if all you're doing is, you know, swinging hard, hoping for home runs and hoping not to get strikeouts, it's like the difference between chess and checkers.
Sure.
That's a great comparison.
And I'm going to throw this out there. You understand what I'm talking about. How much do you think the shift has played an impact into the 3 true outcomes? Okay, well, I've been able to hit it into this hole my entire career. And now every time I come up, they've used all these advanced sabermetrics to understand where I'm going to be hitting it on what pitches and what count and what situations. Screw it. I'm going to swing for the fence.
Yep. But they swing for the fence. Exhibit A, Matt Carpenter for the Cardinals, which is why he hit 28 to 30 home runs. I will say this, though, just to kind of move on from this, because I feel like we've aggravated this topic a little bit. And how it ties into the city. It means a lot to the city if the Cardinals do well.
Of course.
It means a lot to the city in terms of revenue if the Cardinals are winning. It
means a lot to me.
Well, yeah. Also, like, we're just... You can tell when the Cardinals aren't doing well, the city gets down. It's a weird thing. It's like the weather. It's like the Cardinals are controlling the weather, too. Either way, it's still a fun team to watch. Yadier is going to have an offensive resurgence.
So much
this season. It's going to be really fun. I think Carlos Martinez is going to have his best year of his career. I think Michael Wacha is going to have a nice resurgence. I think Adam Wainwright's done, unfortunately, fans of Adam Wainwright. I think he's done. I think we're going to see a rising star and Alex Reyes come up. I also think we're going to see a rising star and Aaron Hicks. Just throw fireballs.
I mean, Jordan Hicks.
What did I say?
Aaron.
Yeah. Aaron Hicks plays for the New York Yankees. Jordan Hicks.
Fooled
wow.
Me.
Well, Aaron Hicks is a fantastic outfielder for... Oh, my gosh. I love the style of play. We don't have to get into the New York Yankees. I'm
getting
Yankees
into
fan
anybody
as well.
Outside of the Cardinals. Is Shohei Ohtani.
Oh, Shohei, baby. We don't have to go into baseball. Oh, gosh. I could talk about this all day.
Yeah. And just to kind of tie a bow on sports... Blues are out of it.
Blues are out of the playoffs. St. Louis FC, the football club in town, the one where you actually play with your foot, they have won one game, they have tied 2 games, and they have lost 1 game. So they currently are sitting at 5 points.
So we have 3 500 teams in this town?
Basically.
All right.
Yeah, actually kind of
feeling
pretty
good.
This is the most average town in the world.
Except Yay. For beer.
Huh?
Except for beer.
Except for beer.
Right.
Come for the sports, realize they're average, stay for the beer.
There we go.
Realize you actually probably should have come for the beer in the first place.
Yeah, that's a, I think that's a perfect...
Hindsight's 20 beers.
That's a perfect catchphrase, a perfect...
Hindsight's 20 beers?
No,
that should be a St. Louis slogan.
The whole like 3 cents you did, that's going to be the new slogan.
Of St. Louis?
Yeah, it doesn't need any workshopping. Come for the sports, stay for the beer, then realize that you should have come for the beer in the first place.
Yes.
Hindsight's 20 beers.
That's four lines, by the way.
It's so catchy. It's so catchy.
Thank you. I'll do it again. I went to school to learn this, by the way. I didn't even have to go to school to do that. I just have to be around my dad my whole life to come up with stuff like that. Thanks, Dad, if you're listening. Hey, Dad. Hey, Pops.
Does your dad listen?
Probably not.
Okay.
I mean, he's a technological whiz, but he probably doesn't care for podcasts. He just gets in his Subaru Outback and, you know, drives to rehearsal.
Yeah.
Like you.
Yeah.
For theater rehearsal. Yeah. Any fun shows coming up, Bradley?
I'm gonna see so much theater.
Do it
this
real
week.
Quick.
So well, first let me just like
because we're like on hour 100.
No, we started like right at 7.
Oh,
so we're doing all right.
Okay.
I
just got an update. People, I don't know if this is gonna come out later. I'm calling. It's gonna get broken up, but Aaron Sanchez is no hitting the Orioles right now through 6 innings from the Blue Jays. Okay, go.
So this week I already saw Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead at St. Louis Shakespeare.
Yes.
You
said decent things about it.
I really, really enjoyed it. I think the leads were either miscast or just didn't quite bring it. It's a tough show to do. It's an absurdist piece.
Well, you said that absurdist pieces are usually tough to do.
Yeah, well, you need to have the right approach to it. You need to just approach them realistically. And allow the text to, and the
which is really ironic.
It is. But the thing is, for an absurdist piece of theater to work.
And where was this taking place?
This was at the Ivory Theater, St. Louis Shakespeare.
So where is that located so people can know where to go?
Carondelet, right by Perennial Artisan Ales.
Oh, Perennial Artisan Ales. If you want a good sour beer, go to Perennial.
Yeah.
Or come to Maplewood, where we're at in our own Hizzy.
Go to Tapped.
No.
Go to...
Who has the best sour beers on planet Earth?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
People come from far and wide to go get their sour beers.
Internationally, I don't know if it's international. Probably.
Yes,
internationally awarded.
Renowned.
Side Project Cellars, who formerly...
was the master brewer.
Well, but they shared space in Perennial and then went on and did their own thing. Side Project Cellar, Side Project Brewery, both in Maplewood.
That's why it's called Side Project.
Yeah, fantastic. But so Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead. Yeah, the ensemble is fantastic. And if you don't know, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead is a 1960s Tom Stoppard play. It basically, the characters Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are two very, very minor characters in Shakespeare's Hamlet. They're kind of childhood friends of Hamlet, and the king calls them in to town to say, hey, Hamlet's acting weird. Can you try and figure it out for us? And they have a few short scenes.
Hamilton?
Hamlet.
Just kidding. You said Hamilton, though.
Did I?
Yeah.
Well, Hamlet.
No, you said they let Hamlet in.
Oh!
Ah, there it is.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm really in my Hamilton kick right now because I'm getting ready for the 19th.
Yes. So this play imagines what they're doing for the entire time of the play, but with this kind of absurdist bent to it. So at certain parts of this play, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, characters from Hamlet enter and do scenes from Hamlet with these characters. So it's kind of like a, you know, these worlds colliding situation.
A Fairly Odd Parents Jimmy Neutron mashup show.
I didn't see that episode.
What? That's the best one.
Well, I know, but I didn't watch a lot of Neutron, so
I
didn't have cable.
That's
growing up.
That's your fault. Thanks, Mom. Well, there's a lot of topics tying back into Tell Rolf.
Yeah, but at any rate, we had so now the main characters of Hamlet become minor characters in this play.
Interesting.
And but the casting of those characters from the rest of Hamlet, they could have taken that cast, who are minor characters in this play, and presented a very competent production of Hamlet with those characters in those roles. That's how well cast the entirety of the ensemble was around Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. But I was left wanting more from the leads.
Hmm.
Gotcha. Sounds interesting. And where and for how long is this playing?
I don't know. Like, I think this was the first weekend of it. It's running 2 or 3 weeks. But if you look up St. Louis Shakespeare, you can figure out what the dates are on that. This week, I'm going to go see a world premiere of Forgottonia, a new musical.
Cool.
Premiering at East Central College. It's all sold out. We talked about it before. All sold out. I'm going to rehearsal again this week, and then I'm going to go see Jesus Christ Superstar. They're opening this weekend at Stray Dog Theater.
Oh, I heard. Oh, what's his name? John Legend's going to be in that here in St. Louis, right?
Nope.
Oh, never mind.
Someone better. Omega Jones.
Of course, somebody's better.
It's going to be great. I'm really, really looking forward to it.
I'm sorry, I had to.
I'm really, really looking forward to it. I love the show anyway, but I've heard some good things about.
How good was Norm?
Oh my gosh! Man. Just give me life. But we're talking local St. Louis.
Oh!
But dude, he was in St. Louis.
Dude, speaking of this, I'm gonna interrupt you real quick.
Do it
because I knew that Norm did the Muni here recently, and he was in a Muni production. I told you, I'm not sure if Blaker knows, but guess who's gonna be at the Muni playing Don Lockwood from Singing in the Rain this summer?
Matt
at the Muni. Have you seen Singing in the Rain?
When I was young.
You haven't? You haven't seen it in the past 5 years?
No.
It's not an annual thing that you do.
Well,
like
guess what we're doing. Guess what we're doing right after we wrap up recording.
Yeah, we're gonna definitely watch.
But
Corbin freaking Blue.
Gonna be
Corbin Blue is playing Don Lockwood. Do you know who Corbin Blue is?
I don't.
Blaker's shaking his head. You son of a bee. Have you not seen High School Musical?
Yeah.
The greatest movie of all time.
Wow.
I just didn't appreciate it.
I'm kidding. It sucks.
But Corbin Blue.
Corbin Blue is fantastic.
And he's kind of a big name. And
he's
like,
a big deal. He took over the Usnavi role for Lin-Manuel Miranda.
He took it over from Lin?
Yeah.
Oh, I knew he'd played the role. I didn't
know. No, he didn't take it from. He took it second.
Okay.
Somebody took it over at Lin. Then
I remember.
Then it came Corbin.
Yeah.
But honestly, Corbin owned that role of
awesome.
In the Heights,
yeah.
By the way. Sorry, didn't say that yet. In the Heights, saw Corbin Blue on Broadway, got to talk to him after the show. He's a fantastic, fantastic gentleman. I love Corbin. Hey, Corbin, if you're listening to this, I know we don't stay in touch like we used to, but let's hang out again.
Insert sad song for David here.
Whoa. Corbin and I are good friends, man. We hung out a couple times.
Cool.
But he's perfect for the role. He's going to be here in the Muni this summer. Singing in the Rain is to be the 100th year of the Muni.
100th season,
and it's going to be fantastic. Also, shameless plug: my dad is going to be acting at the Muni.
Yeah,
this summer. John Lemon. No, yeah. Not John Lennon. John Lemon. That's a real thing. Go check him out. He's going to be freaking awesome.
I'm excited. I need
to
write down
that
date. So and then the rest of my week, I'm going to go see on Saturday night. St. Louis Fringe Festival is having their big lottery season announcement. St. Louis Fringe Festival is, I've probably talked about it a little bit, is a theater festival 2 weekends long in the middle of August. They bring in a national headliner. They have a local headlining act that they pre-select that I happen to be on the production team of this year's local headlining act. And then pretty much every other act, they open up submissions early in the year. If you say, hey, I have some sort of performing arts theater thing that I want to produce, you type up your name and say, I want to produce it. And then instead of being juried selections, instead of just going through and saying, this looks good, this looks stupid, they just pull them out of a hat. And they just say, next up, you get a show. So Saturday night, they're having a little fundraiser slash doing their lottery. So they're going to be announcing their season. And in addition to that, the St. Louis Fringe has prepared and is producing a world premiere performance art piece in conjunction with New York artist Melissa Stern. She has a gallery exhibition at the Kranzberg Arts Center Gallery currently. And her piece involves kind of statues and objects and these kind of like otherworld humanoid figures. And she has partnered with about 12 different writers to create monologues from the perspective of these statues. And if you go into the...
That's really peculiar.
If you go into the gallery, you can like hit the QR code and like listen on headphones while you're to the monologue while you're looking at this statue.
Yeah.
This is this kind of interactive piece. So she met with the executive director of the St. Louis Fringe Festival and basically gifted that opportunity to the St. Louis Fringe Festival to produce their own live version of that. So they took 12 local and national artists, writers, educators, etc., and commissioned new works to cooperate with her gallery showing. I also I happened to be asked to write one of those. So I will be a piece of my work will be premiering as a part of a collaborative world premiere performing art event deal on Saturday. So I'm really excited about that.
And tell us again where that's going to be.
That will be taking place at the Kranzberg Arts Center. It's right under the Big Brothers Big Sisters building in that same block, 501 North Grand Avenue, 7 p.m., $15 entrance.
Beautiful.
That's cheap for what it is.
Yeah. And it's a whole fundraiser for the Fringe Festival. So you get to see what the season is. You get to see this art piece. There's also going to be a bunch of silent auction deals.
How are they going to know how much it costs?
Thank you, David. Moving along.
Yeah, so I actually, I'm just going to plug a little event that I'm going to this weekend as well. Trying to get more into the culture here in St. Louis and various...
if you want to help Baker come out of his culture shell.
So April 14th, this Saturday.
Give advice.
The corner of Pine and, I guess, 4th Street. I'm going to Paul's and Prince. It's a charity fundraising event for the Young Friends of
Paws
the APA.
And Prince?
Yep. It's a part cocktail party, part art show.
Is that at Covo? Is it 4th and Pine?
Yes, 401 Pine Street.
I think that's Covo.
Well, there you go.
But
just check it out online. It's going to be an interesting event. It's just basically helping raise funds for the APA.
Tight.
Yeah, and I'm going to go. I'm going to hang out with some friends and hopefully help some animals find some loving homes.
I love animals.
Yeah. So I also wanted to take a little moment here to challenge you listeners
to do what
we really enjoy recording this for you guys and
we don't do it for our listeners. We do it for ourselves. It's therapeutic and we know it.
Well, it's both.
Forget our listeners.
Regardless, I wanted to get some feedback from you guys as far as in future episodes. Give us, shoot us a message on Facebook, a comment, something. 3 to 5 topics, what you would like to hear us talk about. Is there something that you don't hear enough about on Overarching or something that you want
to be an interactive podcast that gets the community involved?
Is there something that you heard about, but you don't want to do the research? Shove it on over to us.
Yeah, you're like, oh, this seems like it's interesting, but I like Netflix and binge watching stupid things on TV while I sit in my apartment in Fox Park.
Well, it's motivational for me. And I don't David know,
I just
I think
picked
that,
a random
there's something in David's water today.
I just picked a random. It was whiskey. It's whiskey.
Or the hat that he's wearing with
it's
the monocle.
It's whiskey.
So.
Oh, come on. Don't make fun of my hat. My hat selection. I like my. So.
But yes, shoot us a comment. Leave some feedback.
Don't shoot us.
And we'll love to hear from you. Well, says the man wearing the Abe Lincoln hat.
Well, hey, Abe Lincoln was the greatest thing to happen in the United States. Forget all of the good things that happened after that.
Yeah, I already did. So tell me about it sometime.
Okay.
All right. So that sounds like we want to wrap it up with. Do you have any other topics? We want to wrap it up with Matt's.
Go to the Benevolent King in Maplewood.
Yeah,
we talked about it last time.
Oh yeah, restaurant.
Did we talk about Benevolent King?
I can't remember if we talked about it or.
The Benevolent King is a Moroccan restaurant that's being opened by Ben.
I think just you and I talked about. We didn't record it.
Ben Paremba. Ben Paremba is a restaurateur in St. Louis. He's opened up a new restaurant in Maplewood called the Benevolent King. There are rotating plates, six plates. Six starter plates, six entree plates that are constantly rotating. And there are different, I think there's about 20 different drinks as well.
We'll have to check that out in May.
Yeah, because awesome. Bradley and I are on, ready?
Fiscal austerity April.
Well, I'm not, so
tell us about it. Tell us about it next week.
AKA, what that means is we literally are just bringing our lunch to work every day.
Hey, that's good for you guys. And I should probably, I could anywhere. Probably learn something from
you. Know how
that.
Much money I've saved? Not a lot.
But hey, I guess the restaurant, I shouted out, what, the Gramophone last time? Yeah. So
we need something like more like unique that people don't know Soul about
Garden,
in St. Louis.
Is
Soul Garden.
Soul Garden.
S-E-O-U-L. Or S-O-U-L.
Correct. S-E-O-U-L.
As the capital of Korea.
Korean barbecue.
Yeah.
I think I've already plugged Asian Kitchen. Yeah. I love... if you haven't picked up listeners...
I'm pretty sure people like Soul Garden.
I love Asian cuisines, Korean food. But this was a restaurant I passed one time, and I was like, ooh, I need to try that one time. I swung in there, and you can get the all-you-can-eat buffet.
Is it only vegetarian food?
No. But they have some really good vegetarian options. I had a radish soup that I was like, I don't know how I feel about it. Then I took a...
Sounds rad.
Do you bite soup? I took a sip of the soup.
A spoonful?
Yeah, I had a spoonful of the soup, and I was just like, this is delicious.
A slurp.
But yeah, you can get the all-you-eat buffet. And that's a little bit pricey, but man, is it good. I got the bibimbap. And it was
what?
It was delicious.
Say that again.
Bibimbap.
Bibimbap.
Drop the A.
Bibimbap.
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 There you go.
Wait, yeah. Is that really what it is?
Yeah, it's a real word, David.
Bibimbap.
Get cultured.
Whoa. I am cult. I'm more cultured than any of you. Okay.
Put together.
I want that to be a fact. I am the most cultured individual in the room.
Well, you know how you make facts. You say them loud and often.
Yeah, I'm just saying. If you can, I am the most. Never mind.
You ever watch Game of Thrones, Dave?
That's the worst show ever made.
Okay, so we have differing opinions there, but the quote. From
it's
the,
not an opinion. It's fact.
The quote that we're going to be taking from that is he who has to say he's the king is not the true king.
I don't even know what that means. That literally means nothing.
I mean, we live in a representative democracy.
That's a good joke.
So there is no king.
Yeah. Well, listeners, you can take that as it is, but hey,
that's a good one.
I've had a great
All hail today. Mayor Lyda Crewson. I guess.
Sure.
Crickets.
No, dude, she's the best. She's a nice lady. Yeah. She's a nice lady. I'm gonna support the mayor, whoever they are. Like, even if they're like some like crazy 70-year-old white Republican person that has crazy things, I'm gonna like support them, because I'm gonna be like, hey, you're running our country, I'm gonna pray for you. You've got a lot of responsibility. it's a big issue.
Nice.
Hey,
all right,
people, come, like, yeah, what Blaker said earlier, comment, let us know what you want us to talk about, because we could talk about baseball all day long. Next week it's just gonna be me and Blaker, so we might actually talk about baseball all day long. JK, we won't do that to you. Also, sorry for saying JK. That's unfortunate.
Yep. Well, just don't do it again.
JK. I did it again.
I think not if I edit to like right after I say.
But you're
don't
not
do
going to.
I could.
I know for a fact you're not going to.
Well, how
to.
Are we gonna end this? If we're not gonna end it that way.
That's not fair. Blaker, how do you want to end this?
Take a deep moment, everyone. Look well, in yourself. Collect your thoughts.
Do I have to open up like open heart surgery?
And be thankful for something today. Always be positive.
Always.
Hey guys, thanks for listening.
Whoa, man. I don't want to have the last like word, but that was like LeVar Burton level of like reading rainbow reflections. Maybe you, do it again. Like, just like make it super, super reflection.
David, I just want to
super
shout
LeVar
out.
Burton.
I just want to shout out and appreciate the fact that your phone vibrated earlier in the podcast and then you failed to
Dude,
turn it off.
It's on silent, whatever. It's a phone. It's going to vibrate. I want things to... I get updates from Major League Baseball.
Yeah, but if you turn it on silent, then it'll be silent.
First of all, the Major League Baseball reports of the no-hitter that is now through 7 innings is very important. Blaker, take us home.
Well, thanks for listening.